Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and good morning, and welcome everyone. This is another edition of NDB Radio. Tonight is Monday. Oh man, I was about to say Tuesday. Today is Monday, and it is a beautiful February 8th, 2010. And I got to tell you, we're terribly excited. We have a special guest that's going to be joining us shortly. Of course, I'm your host, Roger Noriega, and joining us from Canada live, and I always forget if it's Alberta or Edmonton. But I'm sure she's going to set me straight. Somewhere from the icy north, we have Patricia. How are you, Patricia?
I'm good, Roger. And Edmonton is in Alberta. Alberta is a province. Edmonton is a city.
All right. You know, I don't pretend to be a geography major, but I do know that. And I obviously got that one wrong, so I apologize. I'm already screwing with my friends from Canada, so that's not going to be good.
Well, that's okay. I'll just hit you with a hockey stick.
Well, since you've already come down to LA one time, I've got to worry about that. But hey, all kidding aside, I want to introduce the man from the Pacific Northwest, and he is a man, not to be mistaken with Bigfoot. We have the irrepressible Shadow. How are you, Shadow?
Hey, everyone. Hey, Roger. How are you doing? I'm doing all right.
I'm glad to hear that. Hey, everyone in the chat room, guys, I want to give you all a shout-out. Of course, guest 5503, welcome, and Zeke1109. And from Zeke, a little bit of trivia, guys. Today in history, February 8th, 1924, was the first coast-to-coast radio broadcast. It was heard by 50 million people. That is kind of cool. That's rather exciting, knowing that that happened on this day. So that's a great anniversary, February 8th, 1924. About, 86 years ago or something like that. I don't know. I'll do the math later. But let's see. Patricia says, pity it wasn't your broadcast, Roger. Patricia, are you trying to tell me that I'm that old?
She said it. I didn't.
Yeah,
well,
right.
I think if there was some way that you could have managed it, you would have.
I'll take that as a vote of confidence. Obviously, we're all here. I'm stalling. I want to get right to it. Aaron Douglas is going to be joining us in about 20, 30 seconds. I think he's actually with us right now, but I wanted to go over his profile. You all know about him. And oh, could that be him calling in now? Actually, that's my fax line. Sorry, I should have shut that one off. But you know him from many programs, Andromeda, The Chronicles of Riddick, which was a big movie. You have The Dead Zone, of course, another movie, iRobot. Final Destination 2, which we might have a question or two on that one. He's done many, many of the things. Bionic Woman recently on NBC. Of course, Battlestar Galactica he's most recently known for. And I know he's working on some other projects, and we're going to get right to it because he is here with us now. Good evening, Aaron Douglas. How are you, sir?
I'm great, guys. How you doing?
We're doing very well. Again, we want to thank you for taking the time to join us. I know you've got some stuff planned for this evening, so we're gonna try to make this as quick and as good as. Oh man, as best as we can make it.
So you don't know geography, you can't do math, and you're making up words. Well done.
But he has a wonderful personality.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
Well, maybe that and might be the only.
And a great face for radio.
Oh, you beat me to that joke. Yes, I definitely have a face for radio. All my coworkers, all my family say, hey, you found your niche. Like, yeah, all right, get the hell out of here. Sorry. Aaron, again, I want to thank you. Hey, man, you know what? You've had the chance to do quite a bit of stuff, of course, in the Battlestar Galactica series. One of my questions to get us going, really, Aaron, is when you won the role, what is it that they told you in the miniseries? What was, if it went to series, what was going to be your role? Was it going to be like a B character, or did they tell you, hey, man, Aaron, we got a lot planned for you, baby?
No, they didn't. You know what? They didn't tell me anything. I think the original plan was for Tyrell actually to die a couple episodes into season one. I didn't think he was going to stick around. So I was surprised as everybody else when he just started to grow and they gave me more and more stuff to do. So it was, they had sort of an arc all planned out for everybody else. But once you start to get to like 8 or 9 on the cast list, you don't really focus on those characters as much as 1 through 5 sort of thing.
Well, that's very true. But fortunately in Battlestar Galactica, Aaron, wow, they gave you some meat to chew on, baby. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. They took me for a ride and chewed me up and spit me out a couple of times, but it was great.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Hey, you know what? Again, I want to take a quick moment. I want to welcome Almighty Sports Show in as well, guest 5503, guest 5622. Hey, guys, if at any time you have any questions for Aaron, I didn't get a chance to ask him, but in the short time that we have, Aaron, if we do get any live callers, would you be interested in taking the live callers?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, cool. Well, there it is, guys. 914-338-0314. You all know what it is. Fire off your questions in the chat room. And I know this one comes over from Bam. As a matter of fact, this is a BSG question, and we're not going to make it all BSG, so please bear with us, Aaron. Much of your BSG career had major arcs with Grace Parks, you know, various eights. You have achieved something on every male fan's bucket list. How was it to Mac with an actress that was ranked on the Maxim list?
Yeah, I know. It's not something that I would ever thought it would happen, that's for sure. The great thing about Grace is she's a very, very, very beautiful woman, but she is the loveliest person you'll ever meet. And it was a treat hanging out with her day in and day out. She was a beautiful woman inside and out for sure.
You know, speaking of one of the other ladies that you were kind of involved with, supposedly, it was awesome to see you laugh when Tyrell heard that he and Tori were supposed to be in love. Why do you think Tyrell and Tori didn't get back together in this version of their identity? That's a pretty deep question in the Galactica universe there.
Well, probably because she was a backstabbing, two-timing, double-crossing bitch. I think that would probably be the shortest answer to that one. I don't see that those two would ever hang out. They would have never run into each other had they not been revealed as being a part of the Final Four. So, and then when they were, once that sort of happened, it was they're just from two different worlds, not literally, I guess, but figuratively. So, what they did back in the day on the real Cylon Earth, that would have been it'd be interesting to see what the writers would write for those characters back in 2,000 years. In the past.
Yeah. For me, it proved to be a mismatch, but I got to tell you again, even though Bam came up with that question, he's right, dude. They gave you some beautiful women. Of course, your wife, Nikki Klein, she's a great person. And again, very attractive woman. Hey, Aaron, way to go, dude. But hey, I want to go ahead.
Well, no, I completely agree. Yeah, a bunch of beautiful women that were really, really sweet. So, yeah, you couldn't go wrong on that show. They were the babes of sci-fi, that's for sure.
Oh, yes. A quick question before I hand it off over to Shadow. Aaron, well, actually two questions. Do you have a website? I know you do, and if you could give it to us, please, because for some reason, all the fans love to hear the website from our guest. Not for me. Don't know why. It must be that math challenge, the verbally challenge. I don't know what it is. But they like to hear. Do you have a website, Aaron?
Yeah, there's a few fan sites, but the one that is by far the best is run by my very good friend Michelle. And actually, happy birthday, Michelle. It's her birthday today. And she's in Australia. And it's AaronDouglasFans.com. So she posts things about shows and release dates and things like that before I even find out. So I have no idea how it happens, but she's pretty skilled at finding out what's going on and keeping everybody in the loop, as it were.
That is so cool. Hey, Aaron, what got you into... Wow, the chat room is filling up quick. Hey, all the guests. Hey, guys, register at blogtalkradio.com, take on a persona and be someone, and that way we can take your questions in the chat room. Welcome, Shy Rosalind, as well, and everyone else who's in there. We have Aaron Douglas with us, guys, and make it quick. Let's get those questions flying. Aaron, what got you into... Hollywood, per se, because you've also done quite a bit, I believe it's theater. What got you going, or what wanted you to perform on stage or in front of a camera?
Well, I did drama all through high school, and then after high school, I did, like, community theater, some Shakespeare stuff. And then I sort of went on I was just always working, and acting was always something that those other people did. It was never something that I thought I would do, certainly not even make the attempt. But I was in my late 20s, and I started thinking about it, and I went to the William Davis Center for actor study, full-time program for a year, I think when I was 27 or 28, and at the end of that, I thought, you know, maybe I should really give this a bit of a whirl, and the teachers were very encouraging, and so I got an agent at the end, and now, gosh, what, 10 years later, here I am. So I got a late start. It's been quite a ride and quite a whirlwind, but I've certainly been blessed along the way, that's for sure. I was good at other things, but this is always the one thing that I've just been very comfortable and seem to excel at, so it sort of makes sense for me to do.
Well, you definitely excel, and they say that timing is but, you know, timing gives you that opportunity, but it's the skill which keeps you there. And like you mentioned earlier, you were set to go possibly in the first few episodes, and they kept you around. Let me tell you, Aaron, some of the best bits of acting I saw were from you in the series.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You know, the anger that you have towards, again, I know what her name is. The one that you killed in the final episode because you found out.
Oh, Rekha. Tori. Yeah.
Tori.
The very lovely Rekha Sharma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That actually stems from when she killed Callie. When I read that part in the script, I called the writers and I said, you know, eventually down the line, Chief needs to find out what exactly went down. And he needs to kill her. And they were all, ooh, wow, oh, yeah. So I pitched him an idea, and Ron Moore actually quite liked it. And then in the script, when we were shooting that final scene, it was supposed to be the ship gets hit with a bunch of fire from the Cylon ship, and it rocks, and I bump her, and she flips. I pull my hand out, and everything starts going haywire, and I bump her, and she flips over from up top and lands below and is killed. And we read that when we started talking about blocking it out and rehearsing it. And I said, no. Chief has to kill her. He has to. And Michael Reimer said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I pull my hands up, pick her up by the neck and snap her neck and throw her down. So we rehearsed it once and everybody thought it was great. And Rekha said, absolutely, that'd be great. So we shot it. And we were... We were sort of halfway through shooting at different angles and stuff, and Mike Reimer asked me, are you sure you want to do this? Because, you know, I don't think the fans are going to like this, and they're really not going to like you. And I said, you know what, Mike, by this point, I don't care. We've been doing this show for 5 years. I think people fall in love with characters and fall out of love with them and then back and forth and back and forth. And I said, you know what, this is the ultimate comeuppance. I think people are going to really like it. And he said, okay, well, if you're all right with it. And And every fan I know, well, not quite all of them, but have most come up and just say that was one of their favorite moments of the show, is when the Chief snaps her neck and throws her down. And I thought it was a good piece of storytelling, and it was a good sort of button for Chief's relationship with the Final Four and her in particular. So it was well deserved, I thought. And I know
exactly.
That there's some people out there. There's some people out there. I go to conventions and stuff, and I have some. I get a lot of notes from people saying that I'm glorifying violence against women and all of that kind of stuff. And I don't know how even to respond to that. There's no glorification about it. I'm reveling in the comeuppance that she got. It doesn't matter if she was a man or a woman, or if I was a man or a woman. It's about the characters and what they did, and one character getting comeuppance. It's nothing more than that. I know that some people have mistaken some of my words or explanations, and I just want to set the record straight right now. It was certainly not my intention for any kind of glorification. I think it's disgusting in the extreme, and there's no part in society, and I'm certainly not endorsing it by coming up with that idea to kill Tori in Battlestar Galactica. How's that for a downer?
Oh, I know. You know, it's great to know. Let me tell you. You know what? I think most fans, that woman had it coming. For what she
did.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And in the way she did it, yes, no doubt about it. Hey, Shadow, I know you're ready to go, and then we'll give you a few, Shadow, and then go on over to Patricia, because I know we're all dying to get some questions in. Go ahead, Shadow.
Sure.
Hey, Aaron, were you a science fiction fan before you were cast on Battlestar Galactica? And the second part of it,
absolutely.
How hard of an audition was, how hard was it auditioning for Battlestar Galactica?
Well, I'll take the second one first. I was, I originally went out for the role of Gaeta. No, I originally went out for Apollo, and I didn't get Apollo for obvious reasons. Jamie goes to the gym, and I don't. And so I don't have to. Yay! And I got called back for Gaeta, which I didn't get, which is great because it was because Alessandro is so great with the tech talk and that sort of stuff. And at the end of the casting day, they had – Tyrell was originally supposed to be Ty's age. And someone, I think it was Mike Reimer, said, you know, we've got a lot of old guys on this show. And if you remember me from the miniseries, I was like a thinner, younger, handsomer version of myself. And so David Icke said, well, what about Aaron Douglas for Tyrell? Because they had seen my tapes and liked my auditions. And Michael Reimer remembered me from something previous in my career. And they said, oh, absolutely. And so they just offered me this role, and I read the script and said, yeah, sure, okay, I'd just love to do anything on it. It'd be like being in Star Wars, you know. I'll be a stormtrooper. I'm the guy behind the guy holding the sign. I'd love to do that. So, but science fiction fan, yeah, absolutely. I grew up on the original Battlestar. I loved movies like Time Bandits, and, of course, I love all three Star Wars movies. I've been, ever since I was a kid, I've loved this kind of stuff. Star Trek Next Gen is still one of my rainy day sitting around watching reruns shows.
Wow.
That is good
That's
stuff.
That's cool.
Go ahead, Patricia.
There's so often when we talk to actors and we ask them that question, we get the, no, in fact, I don't watch much TV at all. So it's really refreshing to hear that you enjoy that, Aaron.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I watch a lot of sports on TV, but I certainly have my favorite dramatic and comedy shows too.
We met face to face at Dragon Con in Atlanta last year.
Yep.
I think it was last year. And I've noticed that you well, it would be for you, a lot of faces.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that you go to just about every year, is that right?
Yeah, I think I've been to, four out of the last five, maybe. last year I went as a fan. The previous year I went, I brought my brother, and I think there was about eight guys, a whole bunch of friends went, and my brother, and we just had the best time. These are guys that I usually go to Las Vegas with, or we go on vacation. And then this past year, I said, okay, but I missed out on so much the previous year because I was sitting at a table signing, or I was doing panels and all that kind of stuff. So last year, Dragon Con asked me to go, and I said, I'd like to come, but I want to go as a fan. I don't want to have to do anything. And they're so fantastic, the organizers there, and they're so gracious. They said, yeah, absolutely. If we can use your name on the website, we'll give you a room, and you can do as little or as much as you want. So I showed up with, I think there was about 23 of us last year. We had 13 rooms, and we had an absolute fall down blast. I mean, if you go to cons and you've never been to Dragon Con, run, don't walk. It is worth the drive. It's worth the whatever. It is the most fun you'll ever have. It is just a spectacular weekend. And to be able to go as a fan and just sort of wander around and hang out was a real treat for me, too.
So would you ever dress up as your favorite character?
I did. Last year, I dressed up as the chief, and I wandered around for a little while. And then I went and took it off.
Really? Oh, darn,
yeah, actually,
I missed that.
I brought my orange jumpsuit, and I walked in on the, I think it was the Friday night panel. I walked into the back of the room and got one of the guys to give me the Q&A mic, and I asked a question, and of course everybody recognized the voice right away, and they thought it was very funny, so I went up on stage and joined them for a half an hour, and then took a few pictures and went and changed back into jeans and a t-shirt. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's amazing. Which is your favorite convention? Would you say Dragon Con then?
Yeah, Dragon Con for sure. Dragon Con is like Vegas without the gambling. You're just sort of gambling on your life. You're gambling on your liver. That's what Dragon Con is.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, yeah, I apologize, Patricia. We actually have a caller, guys. It's a Skype caller, so it's a 111 area code. So, caller, remember, there's about a second or two delay. Let us know who you are, where you hail from, and you are now live with us. Caller, go ahead. You are live with Aaron Douglas on NDB Radio.
Well, hello, Roger. I think it's me, Ian. How you doing? And how are you doing, Aaron?
Hi.
I'm great, Ian. How are you, friend?
I'm good. We've actually met briefly, Aaron. You might not remember because we barely spoke, but it was at SF Ball a couple of years ago in Bournemouth.
Oh, yes. And LeVar Burton was there and a couple of the next-gen people.
Yeah. Well, you might not actually remember me per se, but you might remember some of the antics I got up to. And I'm just wondering if you'd like to share your memories of the con with the rest of the group here. I was actually the guy that got up and explained to LeVar Burton the British delicacy known as spotted dick.
Okay, I think he remembers.
I remember that. Yeah. No, that's I know that there's a lot of cons in the UK, in the London area, and you can go up into Birmingham and places of the like. But I went over there one year for a convention. I think it was late winter, early spring. Does that sound right? Yeah, in Bournemouth. And the people that ran the con were so lovely and so sweet, and they raised money for local hospitals and hospice and such. And I think actually to buy machines for some of the local hospitals. Anyways, that one is great fun. And, man, if there's a lovelier place than in England, than the south of England, down there on the ocean, I had this beautiful hotel looking out over the ocean. It was sunny and gorgeous, and the people were just lovely, and we got to do a very cool tour. And make sure you ask Ian about the spotted dick if you ever make it over to Bournemouth.
Oh, God.
Well,
oh,
I think you did tell us once, but we're going to have to ask him about it again. Why don't you go ahead, Ian, because we actually have a few questions in the chat room. So go ahead, Ian, if you have another question.
Well, I have a very, very quick question for you, Aaron. I believe you're doing a new TV show called The Bridge, and I'm just wondering if you'd like to talk about that a little bit with us.
Sure, yeah. It's called The Bridge. We shot the pilot immediately following the last episode of Battlestar in summer of 2008, and then we shot season one last year. And just last week, actually, CTV here in Canada announced that it's going to premiere at 9 p.m. on March 5th. They're going to have a two-hour, they're going to show the two-hour miniseries, and then they are going, it'll be regularly starting on March 12th, Friday night, 10 o'clock. Right now it's just in Canada on CTV. CBS it picked it up as well, but all of their shows are doing so well, and we were going to be a mid-season replacement, and so they have this embarrassment of riches with really great shows, so they aren't able to put us on just yet, but they're going to put us on for a summer run, from what I understand, and I think that'll probably be Friday night at 10 o'clock on CBS, but they'll be making an announcement about that, so don't hold me to anything. And I also know that it's sold E1 Entertainment, which is based in the UK, is the production company for The Bridge, and it is sold to like 96 countries around the world. So I don't know if they have to wait till after CBS airs it or just after CTV airs it, but there should be more information about that forthcoming in the next couple of weeks, and it's going to air around the globe. And I play a guy who was a cop for 12 years, and then he becomes head of the police union, and he's in charge of 8,000 cops, and it's his day-to-day through the eyes of a cop and what they just have to go through, and dealing with the brass and City Hall, and then dealing with what the members of the police force have to do on a daily basis. It's a little bit, what if Tony Soprano was a cop? That's sort of the one-liner.
So, basically, Battlestar Galactica's episode Dirty Hands was kind of like your dress rehearsal for this one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm a union guy all over again.
Yeah, so we'll be good because I'm the real union guy here. So we'll let that one go. Hey, guys, I want to go ahead and take a question in the chat room. Erica Jean 10 is saying, are you excited about The Bridge finally coming out? Ian kind of went into it right now. Says, I can't wait to see you on something else, and I must say, I so enjoy you on BSG, and I miss it very much. You gave us such great acting. And, that's from Erica Jean 10 in the chat room. Thanks, Erica.
Thank you, Erica. That's very sweet.
I'm thrilled that she came to join us in the chat room. I have Bam that came in right next to us right now. He just came in the studio, and I know he has a question or two to ask him. I already asked him two or three questions.
I did hear.
Why don't you go ahead? You're live with Aaron, Bam. Go ahead.
How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I was lucky enough to meet Dave Weddle, a friend of mine who I worked with, was married by him, and so I got to go to a lot of cast shows, but I never got to see you there. Did you ever get to go to any of those showings where Weddle and Thompson sponsored it?
Down in L.A.? Yeah, no, I didn't get to go to any of those. The only one I saw was at the DGA Theater, was the miniseries way back in 2003 or 4, whatever that was. I'm not in L.A. very much. I live in Vancouver, and my new show shoots in Toronto, so I've been in Toronto quite a bit for the last little bit. When the last season of Battlestar was airing and they were doing all of those airings down there, I was actually in Toronto filming, so I couldn't make it down.
Gotcha.
Hey, Aaron, this is Roger again. How often do you make it down to L.A.? Because as most of us know or don't know, BSG was filmed almost predominantly up there in British Columbia, Vancouver.
Yep.
I got that one right. how often have you been down in L.A.? Or do you live and work up there in British Columbia predominantly?
Yeah, I live in Vancouver, and everything I've shot has been either in Vancouver or Toronto. So I, when I go down to Los Angeles, it's more for meetings, but predominantly just to visit friends and sort of hang out and relax a little bit. I've got a lot of friends that live down there. Yeah.
That's cool.
Hey, Shadow, I know you may have another question. Why don't you go ahead, because we're actually at the 30-minute mark. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone else, we don't know how long we have Aaron with us because he does have a prior commitment. So we are on borrowed time now, guys. So if you have any questions, fire away in the chat room. Shadow, go ahead.
Hey, Aaron, do you have any scheduled upcoming appearances for conventions?
Yeah, I do. I was just actually thinking about that. Let me see. I don't know if these are in order or not. They're probably not. I will be at Emerald City Con in Seattle. If anybody is in the Seattle area and has never got to that convention, it is fantastic. They do a really, really tremendous job. It's a really good size. The dealer room's great, and they have I'll be doing a panel that's sort of ESG/the bridge, and I was there last year with Mike Hogan and Tomo and Alex Ponovic, and we had a blast. And Will Wheaton, my good buddy Will, is going to be there this year, so look for us at the bar.
I'm hoping to be
there. Going there. Oh yeah, it's a great one. It's well worth going to. I'm going to Phoenix Comic Con in May, the May long weekend. That is also a great con. I was at that one last year, and I'm going to be at FedCon in Germany in end of April, beginning of May, I think it is. And of course, Dragon Con, and there's another one in August, I believe, in Halifax, way out on the east coast of Canada. I think it's called HalCon, and I'm booked to attend that. And,
Yeah, you got it. You got it, Roger.
Right. Sorry, Aaron. I didn't mean to interrupt there, but I just had to point out that's Nova Scotia, right, buddy?
Halifax, Nova Scotia. Boy, you really can just—you can Google Map the hell out of something when you really need to, don't you?
I've got I knew that one.
I've got a good friend. I've got a good friend in Nova Scotia. I'm gonna send him that car.
It's beautiful out there.
Hey, Patricia, why don't you save me and go for another question, huh?
Okay. Aaron, back to Bridge. You've got quite a group of castmates, including a real veteran, Stuart Margolin.
Yeah.
He's been on. He was on Rockford Files way back in the day.
He was Angel in the Rockford Files. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That must be quite the thing to work with someone who's been in the business for so long.
Well, yeah, because. I mean, Battlestar was, oh my God, Dean Stockwell. And he's been around since the dawn of time. And and Stuart Margolin was just after the dawn of time. So I think he came in at about noon. Stuart Margolin is the nicest man you'll ever meet. He's just always has a smile. He plays my father in the show. And just a tremendous actor. And there's a scene in the miniseries of him and I just sitting and playing cards that I'll never forget shooting that scene and shooting that day. And to watch it is really is a remarkable scene. Everybody comments on it all the way from the execs at CBS and CTV all the way down to the crew that just they really like that. And I think people will really like him. He's a really interesting man, a great actor. And he directed an episode, this hostage-taking episode, and he was such a great director, and he just had such a wonderful time. I have nothing but super high praise for the man, of course.
When you work with people of that caliber, do you use the opportunity to learn more about your craft in any way?
I get more into the tell me some old Hollywood stories. The great thing about the great thing working on the bridge is it's not only Stuart Margolin, but it's Michael Murphy. And anybody, Michael Murphy, you know him when you see him, you go, oh, that guy, he's been around, he's been working since the 60s, and he was actually the original, the mayor of Gotham in the first Batman movie with Mike Keaton. And so the great thing about hanging out with him is you get all of the backlot stories from the 60s and 70s and 80s, and he did a movie with Elvis Presley too, so I get I just get Michael to tell me stories in between takes, and he's a lot of fun, and just he's just happy to be doing it, always has a smile on his face, and he's a really very knowledgeable and nice man.
Okay, that's really cool. I'm looking forward to watching. Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to watching The Bridge. I'm really excited the fact that I am actually starting to know who a lot of these people are that are on these shows. Through their previous work on other shows. Do you think that your character on Bridge is going to have a major story arc, or do you see it as being, I know you're a main character on the show, do you see it being similar in structure to a lot of the other work you've done?
It's a small ensemble cast, but when you see the show, you'll realize that it really is. When I say Tony Soprano, if Tony Soprano was a cop, I mean it literally. Also, in the fact that I'm in virtually every scene. We shot for 78 days, and I worked 72 of those 78 days. I had 6 days off in the year, and 3 of those days I was in the studio doing ADR and looping and doing press. If you read the script, each script there's 60 or 70 scenes in a script, and I'm maybe not in 4 or 5 of them. I mean, the show is all about my character. My character's name is Frank Leo, and it's literally just the entire show is about this guy. And a few of the people that he works with and a couple of weekly guest stars, but man, oh man, I've never worked that hard in my life.
So you have the majority of the dialogue then?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It literally is unbelievable. We had one scene last year that was 8.5 pages. Typically a TV show scene is between 1 and 2. So, you know, 8.5 pages, and it's about 1 page per minute on screen. So it's a scene that's 8.5 minutes nonstop. And it is just me talking, walking from person to person, talking about this and talking about that. It's the amount of dialogue is staggering, absolutely staggering.
Is there going to be a lot of action in the series, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. They're cops. It's what happens when cops make a mistake or do something wrong, or either on purpose or by accident. And you know, sometimes the cops are dirty. And what does this guy do about it? Does he sort of bury him and not let it get out into public, or does he, you know, publicly get rid of them? And yeah, there's lots of there's car chases and gunfights and people die. It's very Battlestar-esque, except for I'm wearing a suit and driving a car.
Battlestar-esque, except with a suit. That is pretty good. Hey, guys, I want to take a quick moment to remind everyone we're speaking with Aaron Douglas right now. So if you guys want to get in on it, the number is 914-338-0314. Email us your questions or write them up in the chat room. Bam is waiting right here. He has a question or two as well. And then if Ian's ready to go, we'll go back to Ian in a moment. So why don't you go ahead there, Bam?
Aaron, the Fight Night episode of Battlestar was awesome. Did you guys get a chance to fight unscripted?
Actually, we rehearsed that beforehand a little bit. The guy who played Sergeant Fisher, who's running around on the algae planet with Duala that gets killed, his name is Alex Ponovic, very good friend of mine. And
He's been on our program, Eric.
Oh, has he? Oh, there you go. You guys know Alex, former Canadian heavyweight champ. I mean, he's just a house of a man. His hands are bigger than my feet. It's crazy. And he took Eddie and I, and we rehearsed some boxing moves, and he assigned punches numbers. So like a 1 was a jab, and a 2 was a cross, and a 3 was a hook, and that sort of things. And then he'd just stand and he'd call out numbers. He'd go, Aaron, 112, and I'd throw this combination. And Eddie would know what was coming, and he could get out of the way. So we didn't really fight unscripted, except for one time where he called out 112, and Eddie dodged, and then leaned into me for my straight right. So I went, jab, miss, straight right, pow, I hit him so hard, and his head snapped back, and I thought, uh-oh, I just hit the old man, and the crew kind of gasped, and everybody stopped, and then he just looked at me and shook his head, and then I saw the rage in his eyes, and I thought I was about to die, so I quickly yelled cut and ran out of the ring.
Nice.
Yeah, Eddie and I tagged each other a few times when we were shooting that episode, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was great, especially when he said, Chief, get your fat, because that was an ad-lib, Chief, get your fat ass up here. It's like, okay, all right, that's what we're going to do, old man. It's on now.
Good stuff. Go ahead, Ben.
Have you ever considered going into boxing?
Oh, God, no, I'd get killed. I'm pretty fearless. I have a high pain threshold. I've been a hockey goalie all my life, and I have no problems putting on the gear and having people fire pucks at me. But I couldn't stand opposite a guy like Tomo or Alex, because it would be death in an instant. I mean, it would be it would be terrifying. I wouldn't last as long as it takes a cup of noodle soup to be ready. It would just wouldn't happen. Over.
That's good. Go ahead, Ben.
Why do you think Tyrell ended up the way he did? Do you think that the exile was in response to the guilt that he had for covering up the death of Crashdown, the water incident with the Sharon, the death of Callie, the atrocities of Gaeta, and the death of Tori?
And the death of Sosinus, and the death of, yeah, we could go on and on about the people who have died on or near Chief. I think he's the sum of his total parts. All the happenings in your life shape who you are, and I think it's no less true for Tyrell. I think the moment that it all suddenly became clear to him was when he found out that he is in fact a Cylon, and it all just clicked into place, and it became the great cosmic joke, and that's why I would have those little smiles on my face every time something happened, because I made a choice as an actor to think, okay, you know, I'm going to play this like suddenly it all makes sense to Galen, and so when, you know, we're checking out that Viper, and the Marines come in with Starbuck, and Anders and I are just standing there, and I go on, go ahead, tell her. It's that, all that stuff, he's just been carrying all of this for so long, and he's finally able to let it go and have it all make sense. And then at the end, I love the ending, just where he just says, you know what, humans, Cylons, frack all y'all, I'm going away. I'm going to live with sheep and make scotch.
That sounds like something that Cartman would do from South Park.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Hey, Ian, I know. Oh, you guys, hey, just very quickly, Aaron, you mentioned you're a hockey fan. Who's your team?
Oh, Canucks.
Okay, that's cool. Hey, we know you're in Vancouver. Shadow, where are you at, man? What city are you in? This is an international audience, guys, right now. So the chat room, play along. Let us know the town you're in right now. Shadow, go ahead.
I'm in Olympia, Washington, about an hour south of Seattle.
Yeah. Shall I answer for Patricia, or is she just going to save me on this one?
North of Edmonton, Alberta.
And, of course, Bam and I are right here in Southern California, specifically in Southgate. Ian, let us know where you are, and if you have a question, take it away, brother.
Okay, well, you know, I'm normally, under normal circumstances, I'm in South Manchester in England. But at the moment, I'm up in Scotland working.
Whereabouts in Scotland?
I'm up in Edinburgh.
Oh, I love Edinburgh. I'm so jealous of you right now. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a kind of work-holiday type thing. So I'm getting a bit of time to visit the local landmarks as well. So it's fun. Anyway, I've got one question for you. Patricia brought up Rockford Files before. Now, I hear on the grapevine that there is actually a remake going into production, or that they're actually considering a remake of the Rockford Files. Now, I read somewhere, it was a fan group, they'll do the poll of the actors that they might say, you know, that they might see playing Jim Rockford, and apparently your name came up. I'm just wondering, how do you feel about that? And, you know, can you actually see yourself playing the role of Jim Rockford in the reimagining of Rockford Files?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. I'm kind of tied up with this other show right now, but if something goes a little sideways, yeah. No, I think that would be fun. It was a great show back in the day, and if they do it right, I think it could be a great show again.
Mm. Yeah, you know, so it was a favorite of my father's, and obviously anything that my father watched in the house, we have to watch as well. So.
Yeah, ours was Magnum PI because my mom was in love with Tom Selleck.
Yeah. Yeah, that mustache kind of looked a little gay.
I like the dog.
Yeah, Magnum PU was really cool back in the 80s, man. Let me tell you, that was a good program. So it didn't matter what he did. Hey, we do have two questions in the chat room. So before I go over to Shadow, Patricia, could you handle those questions in the chat room, please?
Absolutely. Erica Jean is actually from Windfall, North Carolina. And her question is, thanks for doing this. I know this is a strange question, but I just really am curious about a book that you, Aaron, recommended to James Callis about religion.
Oh, I've given James Callis a lot of books over the years. Did she name which one it is?
No, she said that you talked about it on a panel once.
Oh, you know what? I bet you it's a book called The End of Faith by Sam Harris. That would be...
Okay,
if I had to guess, that would be the book. Oh, it's Sam Harris is a PhD in bloody well everything. Brilliant man. I believe he teaches in Stanford, but I could be wrong on that. Somewhere in California, I believe. And he just talks about the book is talks about how the world needs to get away from religious based views and take on a more of a spiritual base, get out of the dogma of the books and what they say and not make it so much about what your God says about you and your God says about me and my God says about whoever. His belief is something akin to you know, we're all striving for the same thing. We just have different names for it. So it is a fascinating book. I think over the years when we were shooting Battlestar, I think I probably bought 3 or 4 dozen of them, and I would just continually hand them out to cast and crew, and that became a really interesting topic of conversation. Whether you agree with them or not, it's a really wonderful book to read.
I bet it would be. One other question, Shai Rosalind is from Queens, New York, and she asks if you prefer to do stage or television.
You know what? I love them both. I haven't done stage in a long time. I would love to go back. I haven't really had the opportunity as of late, but I would love to go back and do some more stage. They're two completely different things. It's really, really completely different things. It's a totally different muscle group that you work when you're on the stage as opposed to doing it in front of the camera. But I love them equally well.
Okay. Stage is more immediate, I understand.
Well, yeah, the audience response, you get the audience response because it's a live thing. Every performance is slightly different, and you have to maintain it for an hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, however long the play is. So it's a much more of a stamina focused thing. Whereas television, if you screw it up, you just stop and start talking again. You're not afforded that luxury when you're on stage.
Do you ever get stage fright?
No. No, I'm more comfortable. The more people there are, the more comfortable I am. I'm much more comfortable in a room in front of 5,000 people than I am one-on-one for some strangely odd reason.
Wow. Yeah. I've had to overcome stage fright even in front of a class of students. So imagining someone standing up in front of a huge auditorium full of conventioneers is pretty daunting, but I suppose because they want to see you, it's a different sort of a situation.
Yeah, they're there because they well, most of them are there because they love your show. and they're excited to see you, and they're excited to talk about it, and you just tell stories and be funny and be silly and just have fun. If you're up there having fun, the crowd will have fun with you too. But yeah, you get the ones that that feel compelled for some reason to come up and tell you that they hate Battlestar Galactica and think that Starbuck should still be a guy and we never should have remade that. You just say, well, thank you very much. And probably feel better that you got that off your chest. Now go sit down.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, a quick question. Erica Jean 10 is completely new to Blog Talk Radio. She's completely new to this and everything. And she's thanking you, Aaron, for having the chance to interact with us. And she says this is cool because she never gets to go to a con. So maybe, Aaron, you can share with us. Maybe you may have already answered it, but Erica wasn't here earlier. What is the best thing of going to a con for you, you know, a convention? What do you look forward to? I mean, other than the payday, because that's kind of nice. But what do you look forward to?
There's a bunch of things about going to a con. Go ahead.
So you could give us the perspective of both your fan con experiences and coming as a celebrity guest.
Okay. Yeah. The thing for me is, a lot of the times, you end up going to a place that you normally would never go. And I mean, there's some cities that I've been to that I would never have ever visited otherwise. And you get the real interesting experience of learning about new places in the world and meeting some really interesting people. The people that go to cons are absolutely fascinating. Everything from mayors of cities, doctors, lawyers. NASA scientists, just really, really fascinating people. I get to meet some of the other actors that I have great respect for and have loved their work over the years, and we sort of get to sit down and have a mutual admiration festival. And it was funny, I was at a convention in, I think it was Sacramento a few years ago, and I sat beside Will Wheaton for the entire for an entire day. We were sitting beside each other. We hadn't walked up and said hi or anything. And I was sitting there the whole time going, holy cow, that's Will Wheaton. That's so cool. And he was sitting there the whole time going, oh, my God, that's Aaron Douglas. That's the Chief. That's so cool. And and he went up and he did his Q&A for an hour, and I was waiting in the hallway to go do mine in the same room. And as he walked out, we just sort of paused and looked at each other, and I said, I really don't want to be that guy, but I really admire. And we were both saying the exact same thing at the same time. And then it turns out that he and I both have a very, very good mutual friend, Yuri Lowenthal, who sent us both a text telling us to tell each other to go frack ourselves. And so we had a laugh, and then he and I went for a beer, and we're best friends now. So it's getting to see a lot of the people that you don't get to see. Now that Battlestar's been over for 2 years, I get to see some of the cast, and otherwise you never get to see them. And hang out with the fans. I genuinely like going to the cons because I can hang out with the fans. It's a lot of fun. I love talking about the show, and I don't think I'll ever get tired of that. They're really rewarding experience. People work hard every day in their lives, and for some reason only sports athletes and musicians and actors get accolades from strangers, when I think everybody deserves a pat on the back and a thank you for your work.
So who would you like to really say hello to as a fan of whatever particular actor or sports figure?
I'd love to do a Tim Burton movie. You know, I'm trying to figure out how I can work that. But I think he's just, I love his film so much, and I think that would be a really interesting experience. I have a lot of people that I greatly admire, a lot of actors and filmmakers in particular. I think Peter Weir is just an incredible storyteller. Master and Commander is one of my all-time favorite films. Just a wonderful story. It's just so well told. I'm kind of all over the map with stuff like that. You go to the conventions, and I always find out where I'm going and go online quickly to figure out who's going to be there and have my little moment of woo-hoo and show up and shake a hand and have a beer and tell some stories. It's very fun.
Okay, cool.
And why don't you go ahead and ask that question in the chat room?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have Zeke 1109. He's from back east. Born in Queens, grew up on...
No, as a matter of fact, he's upstate New York, isn't he?
There it is.
Yeah, he's upstate New York. Queens is shy of Rosalind. But go ahead and ask the question.
Anyways, he says, how is Katie Sackhoff like on set? Or he asked that, rather.
What was Katie Sackhoff like on set?
Yeah.
Oh, Katie's a sweetheart. Katie and I are very, very similar in the way that we act. We have, we don't really rehearse. We don't practice our lines. We just sort of get to work and say them. Whereas a lot of other actors they rehearse them the night before and they run their lines and they have to memorize them. And, I've been blessed with a memory. I like a steel trap. I can read a scene once or twice and I have it memorized. Katie's very similar and we work very similar. Things go a little sideways on set. We both get a little grumpy, but we understand each other. We know how each other works, and we both feel the same way, like somebody's going to find out that we're frauds and we're going to get exposed and fired. But I think she's a lovely woman, and it's a great thing about the Battlestar cast is we all got on so well, and we were such great friends and remain so to this day.
We actually only have a few minutes left, and Aaron, I wanted to get in this question up. I guess in Battlestar Galactica, most of us know you from that, Aaron. I know you've done quite a bit of other stuff. I mentioned Final Destination and a few other things. I wanted to get into it, but you know, we are almost out of time. What is your moment that you are most proud of from Battlestar Galactica? Whether it's something that you saw, or it was a line you read, or what was, I mean, like, wow, damn, I'm proud to be a part of this. What was that moment for you, Aaron?
There's a few moments from Battlestar that I look back and I quite like. There's a lot of the miniseries was, and a lot of the show for that matter, for me, was ad-libs. They really let me just ad-lib away. If you read the miniseries script, I don't have very many lines. Most of it's all just sort of made up. They'd send me out into a scene and go make something up. And so the little speech of where I say, after they announce that the ship's under attack, or the fleet's under attack, and the chief's walking around the deck, this is what you train for, this is what you get ready for, is get the old girl back in the fight and kick some Cylon ass. I made that up just on the spur of the moment, and David Icke leapt from his chair clapping, yes, yes, let's go. And Michael Reimer buried his face in his hands. Shame, shame. I like the scene in the bar where Adama busts the chief down after Callie's dead. I really like the Flight of the Phoenix episode. I think Michael Nankin, the director of that episode, just did an incredible job. And the scenes I remember the most were from Dirty Hands, where Mary and I had the ending scene. And it was about 6 hours of shooting to get that scene, and it's just Mary and I sitting across from each other talking, and she is just the most talented person I've ever worked with. She was absolutely amazing, and that day was real special.
I do appreciate that, Aaron. As you may have heard or may not, guys, we're only down about 30 seconds. Aaron, on behalf of Shadow, Patricia, Ian, Bam, and myself, and everyone in the chat room, seriously, Aaron,
what a joy and what a thrill. You made our evening for us, and it was a lot of fun to speak with you. We went near the hour, and again, I want to thank everyone. If we do go over by a few seconds, catch in the archive, but hey, Aaron, again, it meant a lot to us. Thank you, sir. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully we can have a back. I'd like to be
yeah,
on
absolutely.
With us.
I'm glad I could stay. They're waiting for me now, but I told them to wait. So we're all good. And thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. And hey to all my fans, and I hope to see you guys at the con soon.
Sounds great. Aaron,
thank you, Aaron.
You bet.
Thanks, Aaron.
And we're out of here, guys. Thank you, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. All right, man. We're good. Remember, joke night is on. Tomorrow, 2 hours of jokes. We tell it good, we tell it hard, and we tell it quick. So we'll see you guys. A lot more coming on up. All right, guys.
Should be back in Manchester then, so I can go in the chat room.
Sounds good, Ian. Again, Shadow, Patricia, and of course, Bam. Thanks, guys. It was a lot of fun. Wow, good stuff. We'll be talking again. May you all have a wonderful evening. And in the case of our man from the Great Britain, may you have a wonderful morning. Thanks, guys. Good night.
Good night.